I agree with Caleb. Some things just, some days the only thing that makes sense is just singing to God. Just praising Him, giving Him everything. My name is Steve McEnroy, and I'm one of the pastors of the Rock Church. And tonight I get to continue on with the Proverbs series. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about that. Tonight we're going to look at the topic of honesty and integrity. So that's the title of tonight's message, and let's just jump right into it. I don't have a clicker, but I'm sure that you can assist me up there. So here we go, Psalms 25:21. Let's start with this verse. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. You see, the psalmist David understands the source of honesty and integrity. Thanks, Mark. And that's God. God is a source of honesty and integrity. And David understands that when he writes this psalm. And you know what? He prays to God. This is relationship. Can you see in this verse, in relationship of David and his Savior, may integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. Protect me. I don't want you to miss that tonight. See, the power of God and His Holy Spirit is available for you tonight and for me. That's true tonight. It's available. He can teach us tonight. He can teach you. He can teach me if we make the choice to turn to Him. And He's willing, but are we? I hope that we're willing tonight to grow, to be taught, to hear from God. And you and I both know that God is not a genie in a bottle that you can go, oh, three wishes, give me whatever I want, oh genie. No, he's not. Oftentimes, our classroom or where we learn is in the midst of struggle, in that hard place. And Janice alluded to it earlier that maybe, you know, some of you, maybe you're up against something really difficult. You're really at a place where, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this one? This is hard. And maybe that's right where God is going to teach you. Right in that spot. Right in that place is often where he's got our attention. It's like, I don't know what to do, God. So he has our undivided attention. Oftentimes, that's where he takes us so that we will look into his face like a child. He grabs us, puts our face in his hands. Okay, I'm paying attention now. Okay, lead me, direct me, teach me. And I hope that's where we are tonight. You know, some of my heroes of the faith are definitely Bible heroes and real life heroes, real friends of mine that are heroes of the faith. And I think of the Apostle Peter. When I was thinking of this topic of honesty and integrity, Apostle Peter, his struggle, because he struggled just like we do. He had things going on in his life, and we're going to look at that a little bit closer. But the Bible paints, God uses Peter, he uses his word to paint a really raw picture of humanity. And tonight, in a little way, I'm going to just try to illustrate that a little bit, because it really struck me as I was preparing and thinking about this message, is about what Peter went through. So I'm just going to pray again, and then we're going to open our Bibles. Father God, I just pray to you again. I love you, God. I thank you that we're here in this old red warehouse together, God. I thank you that you're real. I'm so thankful that you are a God that loves us. I thank you that you're a perfect Father. You know what's best for us, God, and you'll help us even tonight, God. You'll help me with these words that you've given me to speak out tonight, God. I just want to thank you for that. Thank you up front for what you're going to do and how you're going to help us. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start out in Matthew. If you got a Bible, you can sure follow along. That'd be great. Some of these verses are going to come up with on PowerPoint, but this particular section up front is not. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 31, 35. Again, 31 through 35. We're going to talk about the Apostle Peter and what he went through. So let's set up the scene a little bit. Jesus just finished teaching them, you know, to remember him, to have communion, to go through that communion. And then I don't want to skip over this verse. Verse 30 actually says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I don't know. That always strikes me after that we're taught the Lord's Supper. And after singing a hymn, you see the disciples out there singing a hymn, and then off they went. It's like us. We sang a hymn. It's like a preparation. God uses music, I think, to prepare us somehow, some way, by his Spirit. I think he really preps us. And then he goes on to talk to his disciples. He said, then Jesus said to them, you all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But listen to Peter now. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you tonight, this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. But Jesus looked in Peter's face and said, you will deny me three times. Can you put yourself in Peter's place there for a minute? Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you, Jesus. I will not. I will not. And I want to skip over. Then Jesus is apprehended. He's arrested that very night. Remember, Peter cuts off the guard's ear. He just whacks it off. It's like, you are not going to take Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, stand down. I've got this thing. I'm going to go through with this. I've got it, Peter. And what happens? Peter runs. He takes off running. It's like, he's scared. Because his life is then, right then, it's threatened. That Peter could lose his life. If he was with Jesus, if he associated with this man, he could lose his life. So all of them, they just ran. They took off. Yikes! Get out of here. And this is where the difficult, I think the reality, the raw comes in when Peter denies him. They come back to the spot when Jesus is arrested and we find ourselves in the courtyard in verse 69. Chapter 26, verse 69 continues on Peter's denials. It says, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what he told them. When he had gone out of the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely, now this is the third time, surely you too are one of them. For even the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and swear. I do not know the man. I do not know the man. And then we get to this verse. In verse 75. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Can you imagine His integrity was just busted. It was shattered. It was gone. Peter's like, I did it. I denied him. I can't imagine how he must have been just tortured in that moment. And you and I think oftentimes when it comes to honesty and integrity, we can carry this bag of stuff that we've done in our lives. Maybe something that we did dishonest back in the day, maybe even before Christ, before we knew Jesus, before we were a believer. We did something maybe in a workplace or something that dishonored God. And now we know Jesus, and he lives inside us, and we're a new creation, and we're trying to figure that out. Oh, my goodness, I didn't come to know the Lord till I was 37, so I had 37 years of stuff. Then all of a sudden, I'm a new creation. Oh, look at me, Christian man. But yet, oh, my goodness, there were times when, oh, my, I was dishonest back here. Now I'm going forward with the help of the Holy Spirit, trying to make decisions that honor God in honesty and integrity. But I think many of us, we wrestle with that, don't we? We grapple with that. Because, well, back in 76, boy, I really cheated on my taxes. But that's before I knew Jesus, you know? So this little thing I'm doing now, it ain't nothing. Just slip it in there. So I think in a lot of ways, all of us are probably going through that struggle. We're just trying to figure out, okay, you know, what is honesty? What is integrity? Where do I draw the line? I came from over here, and now I'm over here. Things have changed. There's a new identity. I'm a child of the living God. I'm God's son. Things have changed. And there's an honesty and an integrity that's a different level that I'm trying to strive for, that you're trying to strive for, that we're trying to reach for. And God, in his kindness, he's helping us with that. And because of his blood, you know, the only thing that makes us righteous is his blood. There was a bloody, horrendous, horrific crucifixion for all of humanity to see. Just an incredible demonstration of God's love on the cross. That did happen. And then as believers, we come, thank you. We submit, we surrender, we repent, we turn to God. Oh, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, God. Help me. It's amazing. But I think that's there is a struggle of trying to figure out how do I get to this place? Because God is perfect, and we're created in his image, and we're headed that way. He's transforming us. We're like Josh said a while ago, we're in the blowtorch. He's working on us. So good. You know, back in 2002, I was an electrical contractor. I've got one of my business cards for you here. and what I put on there, McEnroy Electric, kind of catchy name, huh? And integrity first. And I remember making these cards, and that meant a lot to me. It really did. Integrity first. This was my company. My son worked for me. I was Christian. I wanted to represent my God well. And in the construction business, see, I had been in construction for a long time, a lot of different situations where I dealt with things, you know, dishonestly back in the day. And now we're at a place where God had changed me and things were different. And I'm just thankful to say that God showed me favor. Just before I was raised up as a pastor, I had my own company for a while. I worked for a company in Colorado, and I got hired on to a company here in Utah that same company in Colorado purchased. So when I moved here, I had a job. God just lined everything for me. But all this big, this company was buying up all these electrical contractors, they did something wrong because everything went bankrupt. All these companies then went under. And I was working up at Black Diamond on a lodge, a kind of high-end lodge up there for this company. And then One of the general contractor was kicked off the job, but he asked if we could stay. And I stayed there working for this company. All the other contractors were gone, and they kept the electrical contractor switching generals. Very rare. That rarely happens. And they kept us on. And then this company I'm working for goes bankrupt. And the owner of this thing, he really liked me. We got along. If I said I was going to do something, we did it. If we said we were going to be there when they were pouring concrete, we did it. And so the company went under, but then I started McElroy Electric. He said, why don't you just finish it? I said, well, why don't I? So I did. So that contract kind of got me into my own business, and I did that. God was kind enough to use that to kind of transfer me. There was that job kind of carried my family along until we started getting these old buildings. And we need an electrician when the time came. And so God freed me up so I could work on Sandy Building, these buildings, and then God raised me up as a pastor in 2003. But integrity, now you see it on all, everybody likes to use that. You know, if you see contractors, vans and stuff driving, everybody likes that word, integrity. It speaks volumes. It means that you're going to come through. And that's what integrity is. Let's just look quickly at two ways to secure the protection of honesty and integrity. Really kind of simple. And the first one's going to be, the first way to find that protection or security of honesty and integrity is to choose God's standards. In Proverbs 16:11, it says, honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. See, I think we need to understand that God sets the mark. God sets the mark. He determines what's right, what's wrong. He sets the mark for us to attain to. And the only way we can get to that perfection, like I alluded to earlier, is with his help, by his Spirit, to make the decisions that we need. I like this quote from Arthur Warwick. It says, hypocrisy desires to seem good rather than to be so. Honesty desires to be good rather than to seem so. Isn't that true? In point A, just let me add this. His way is a refuge. Again, another Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 29. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. His way is a refuge. There's security, there's safety in his way. As we follow his word, his way, we will find protection in this life and for eternity. As we follow his word, his way, that's where we find protection. And integrity, point B here, will guide you. Integrity will guide you. Read this Proverbs with me, chapter 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. We're upright because of the blood of Christ, and that's what guides us. It's so good. There's a little story I want to read you about a racquetball player. A while back, there was a story about Ruben Gonzalez, who was in the final match of his first professional racquetball tournament. He was playing the perennial champion for his first shot at a victory on the pro circuit. At match point in the fifth and final game, Gonzalez made a super kill shot into the front corner to win the tournament. The referee called it good, and one of the linemen confirmed the shot was a winner. It was official. But after a moment's hesitation, Gonzalez turned and declared that his shot had skipped into the wall, hitting the floor first. As a result, the serve went to his opponent, who went on to win the match. Ruben Gonzalez walked off the court. Everyone was stunned. The next issue of a leading racquetball magazine featured Gonzalez on its cover. The lead editorial searched and questioned for an explanation for the first ever occurrence on the professional racquetball circuit. Who could ever imagine it in any sport or any endeavor? Here was a player with everything officially in his favor, with victory in his grasp, who disqualifies himself at match point and loses. When asked why he did it, this is what Gonzalez said. This is what he replied. It was the only thing I could do to maintain my integrity. He knew he had missed it. I don't know what you would have done. I would have said, game, set, match. I'm the champion. Here I am. It's official. The judge saw it. You saw it. But a man of integrity looks different, doesn't he? A man or woman of where honesty and integrity changes your decision looks different. And I'm not sure if Reuben is a Christian or not, but he sure displayed integrity in that decision. I like this quote by Ralph Waldo Anderson. Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Oh my, good and bad. Without a doubt. Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. I like that quote. In point C here, it says, honesty prevails. And it does. Honesty prevails. Proverbs 16:13 says, kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks truth. You see, honesty and integrity go hand in hand. Kind of like, you just can't take them apart. Kind of go hand in hand. You can't isolate one without the other. And really, they are the best and only stalwart business plan. Honesty and integrity. All right. It's going to be hard. You know, almost daily you can read the papers, you can read about someone being dishonest with finances. Greed takes over, whether it's a huge corporation or even to the smallest of business or even to some gal that works for the government or whatever. All over and over and over again, we see people making poor choices because of honesty and integrity. Honestly, it's the best business plan if you hold the line. Honesty will help you with your business for sure, or anything for that matter. It's more than just dollars and cents, isn't it? Honesty and integrity with your family. I'm going to get to that with everything that you do. Let's see. The second thing's really pretty easy here. Follow through. The first part one, choose God's standards. He sets a high standard. What's right is wrong. He drives the line. He's the plumb bob. And then follow through. And in this culture, this day and age, I think we have a really hard time doing this. And so, I don't know. I want to just touch on this a little bit. All together now, I want you guys to repeat this with me. First, I'm going to say it. God, help me to follow through. Okay, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. We're going to do it again. God, help me to follow through. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Say it with me. God, help me to follow through. Help me to follow through when someone asks me to have coffee. Help me to show up on time. Help me to work hard. Help me be a husband that dies to himself. Help me to follow through with that, God. Help me to be a dad that follows through. When I tell my children I'm going to do something, help me to be that one that follows through. Brothers and sisters, saints, we need to be men and women that follow through. If I say I'm going to be there, I ought to be there. And we need to learn that. I need to grow in that area to follow through. We need to set a good example. Let's not skip that verse. That's a good one. Follow my example as I follow Christ. And we need to set a good example, point A, don't we? Because people are watching you. They are. Parents. please don't miss this. Your children are watching you. You know, my grandfather had cancer. My dad had cancer. I had cancer. And most likely, maybe my children might be susceptible to having cancer. But even maybe more detrimental could be the examples that I teach them. Generationally, maybe some things, some bad habits that my grandfather had that he drilled into my dad, that my dad drilled into me, that maybe just kind of a knee jerk, I'm teaching it to my children. There are times when I see a bad habit in one of my children and I think, oh, man, they got that for me. I do that. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. But people, we are friends, our classmates. You know, if you're single, if you're flirty, you might be causing someone else to stumble in that area. It just goes into all kinds of things. Gossip, speech, how do I spend my money? How do I drive my car? My goodness, if you have a Christian little symbol on the back of your car, don't drive like an idiot. You're representing my King. You are. You know, if you're gonna praise Jesus on a Saturday night and say he's your King, oh my goodness. Represent him in that dark place when you're alone. Represent him when you're looking at your computer and making decisions about what you're gonna look at. Honesty, integrity goes into the dark when you're alone, when I'm alone. When you're making your decisions for your family, for your business, we need God's help in that. And we are set an example. I like what the Apostle Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity. This one just racked me this week. In your teaching, show integrity. I want to show integrity in your teaching, no matter what you're doing. You don't have to stand up here to teach. You're teaching the person with you, wherever you are, in life, on the tracks, at work, at school, at play, at home. We are teaching seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Like I said, it goes way beyond just family. I mean, there's classmates, co-workers, passerbys, everything that we do. And we can learn from our heroes from the Bible, characters from the Bible, from God's Word. He can teach us. Proverbs is just so practical. It's a daily just instruction. I'm so thankful we're going through this series. Topically, There's things that, oh yeah, I can do that today. I can take that little couplet, that one particular verse, and God can speak to my heart, and it can change the way I do things today. God's word is just powerful, and we need it. Oh my goodness, we need it in our lives. Joseph sets us an example, doesn't he? In Genesis, I want to go back to this too. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 6 through 12. That's right. Genesis at the front of the book. In 6 through 12, remember Joseph? Starting with verse 6, says, now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?
As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her lie. He did not listen to her or lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by the garment. So we come with verse 12 here. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand, and he ran out of their house. Oh my, sometimes honest integrity means to run away. Sometimes it's smart to run away. In some sort of temptation, sometimes that's what we need to do. Sometimes we've got to turn. Sometimes we need to make the choice not to cheat or steal or join in on gossip or coarse jokes. Or sometimes we have to make the decision not to have sex outside of marriage. In all honesty and all integrity before a holy God, sometimes we have to make that decision. And it might be when you're making out and you're going, "Ow! You want me to turn the engine off now? Yes! Yes! God has a better plan for you." And maybe you're living with someone. This is the first time tonight you came to the Rock Church and you go, "Oh, those guys, oh, come on, this is 2011. Yes, it is, and God's word still stands. Amen. And God wants, he wants more from his people. He wants more for us. Why? Because he's a good father, and he wants to protect us, and he wants to direct us, and he wants what's best for us. So he just wants us having sex just because we want to, with whoever we want to, whenever we want to. That's just selfish. God has a plan for one man and one woman inside of the marriage covenant for that. There's a place for that. God's really smart. He's got it figured out how it'll work. He's so kind to give us direction and all of that. He is. He's a good God. But we can learn from Joseph. It's a man of integrity. He turned and ran constantly. Can you imagine? Potiphar's wife was hitting on him. "Come here, Joseph." Man of integrity turns, says, you know, he said, "I will not sin against my God." That's what he told her. "I will not sin against my God." And you and I need to be men and women that make that same choice, make that same kind of determination. B says, God knows. Point B, God knows. Yikes, really? Yeah. Proverbs 10:9, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will what? Will be found out. No secret is hidden. You will be found out. God knows. God knows. Proverbs 28, verse 18 says, he whose walk is blameless is kept safe. But he whose ways are perverse will suddenly fall. Proverbs 28:18. He whose walk is blameless is kept safe. That's that protection, that refuge. But he whose ways are perverse will suddenly fall. You know, I talk to a lot of people, get in a lot of different kinds of situations, and you know, sin has damaging consequences. It just does. The poor decisions of sin have damaging consequences. And, you know, I'm often face to face with not only my own sin, but other sins as well. And I want to honor God in that the best way I know how. Be a man of honesty and integrity. There's a high bar that we're all called to, a high standard. But most likely, if you're struggling with something hard tonight or something's gone on, and not in all cases, some things are just hard, but lots of the things, you know, we've brought them on ourselves. We reap what we sow. And oftentimes, it's the sin that we've chosen, either 20 years ago and we're paying for it now, or just the thing we did last week that was sin. That's most likely what we're struggling with.
was we there was a breach in our honesty and integrity, and we stepped into a lie or whatever it might be. And that sin has caused this wreckage that we're trying to walk through now and figure out. Often our struggles are things that we bring on ourselves, and then we blame the world, and we come up with excuses when, oh, yeah, all right, I was looking at pornography for a long time, and my life's just a mess, I can't figure it out. Well, there is a consequence to sin. You spent some time in sin, so you're not just going to all of a sudden walk out of it. Certainly by grace you're saved, and you're going to go to heaven. But there are consequences for choices. If you made dishonest business choices for years and years and years, and you're wondering, well, why isn't my business getting traction? I'm a Christian now. Well, maybe because of the decisions you made that were sin against a holy God, now there's a consequence you have to walk through. And the best way to do that is turn, humble yourself, surrender, and face him. God, help me with this. God, I blew it back there. You know that. Your sin has washed that clean. In fact, in your Bible, it says you don't even remember that. You don't bring those to mind. You don't even remember my sin anymore. This is as far as the east is from the west. I need help sorting through all the things. You know, the financial ruin that's the last few years have given us. So many people have been struggling in their finances. Oftentimes, it's connected right to, well, we were poor stewards with what God had given us. Now we come to a place of hard times, and it's like, oh, it's really hard. Well, if I would have been a better steward, that's a word, isn't it? If I would have been a gooder steward, then I'd be a gooder guy now or whatever. And I wonder, you know, ever since Adam and Eve, you know, the answer's always been to repent and turn. Repent and turn to God. Repent and turn. And I just want to repaint that picture of Peter. Peter, think of Peter. He denied his Savior. He denied Jesus blatantly. He's busted. And the Bible says really at that moment too, when the rooster crowed, cock-a-doodle-doo, three times. Can you imagine the emotion that did well up in him when he recognized the conviction of sin, that I lied? I do know Jesus. I do know him well. I know my Savior. In fact, I promised him to his face that I would go to death with him. But here he is being carried off to be crucified, to go for death in my place. And I ran away. And we've all done that. We've all ran away. We've denied. We've lied. We've stolen. We've dishonored our parents, the commandments, the Ten Commandments. If we look close enough, probably every single one, you and I have, and we fumbled and we dropped the ball. But here's the scene I want to paint. So there's a crowd, the rooster crows, and there's people kind of making accusations at Peter. And Peter starts getting emotional. He realizes, oh, yes, Jesus, he said that to me. He said, when the rooster crowed three times, before it would, that I would. And it says he looked across the courtyard and he caught his eye. Whose eye? Jesus' eye. And so he catches the Savior's eye. And what do you think that looked like? What does Jesus' eye look like when he busts somebody? Huh? In our humanness, we think, oh, it'd be disgust. Like the Pharaoh. Can't believe you denied me. No, we're talking about our Savior in grace. So there's an eye of compassion. So Jesus is looking on him as only God can do. And he's like, ah, son, I forgive you. That Peter. That sin is as far as the east is from the west. In compassion, there's not an ounce of bitterness or him being angry. It's just there's grace and mercy. That's our God, grace and mercy. He looks on every one of us, all of us,
In that same way, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've blown it in the past, it comes back to that. His eyes are on you. You're my child. I see you, my son, my daughter. Don't you see there's grace and mercy? I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. And his loving, compassionate eyes probably just melted Peter's heart, and they wept bitterly, it says. Oh, I love you, God. And he went on to a life just radically given to Christ. And it just makes sense to me. We should all have that same radical lifestyle of, you know what? There's stuff. I've made mistakes, and I'm still being transformed to be more like Christ. But for because of what he did for me, because he's my father, because he's compassionate and there's grace and mercy and he's washed my slate clean, oh my goodness, I'm going to run for him. I'm going to run for him till I drop. And we all should have that mindset. Read my Bible, you bet, you bet. Equip me. Oh, yes, God, equip me. There's much to do. There's much to do for you, my King, my Savior. I love you. I need you to help me in this area of honesty and integrity in this life because it's but a breath, the Bible says. It's almost over. It's almost over. What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? It's almost over. It's almost over. So next time you're looking at your taxes or you want to lie a little bit about something or if you want to gossip or you want to have sex with someone that isn't your spouse, remember, there's a king in play here that we represent. If you're a believer, oh my goodness, let's honor our king. Let's honor him. He is so worthy of our lives, is he not? He is. He is. I like this quote from Mother Teresa. It says, "Let us preach you, dear Jesus, without preaching, not by words, but by our example." She was a great example. She's with him now, probably still serving him. Probably still serving him. And you and I are examples to this world. We are, and it's important that we are men and women of an integrity. It's important that we're alone, we make good decisions. That's what God wants for your life. There's protection in that. Really pretty simple. He set a standard and we're to follow through. It's really pretty simple. I'm just going to close with a prayer and we'll sing another song. God, I love you, Father God. I love that visual of you and Peter making eye contact, Lord, and just the thought of it, it's like a warm hug to me, Jesus. And I'm sure it was more than that for Peter. Changed his life. God, Father God, I pray you'd help us. God, the saints, the men and women of the Rock Church, God, I pray you'd help us to be more like you, to be men and women of integrity by your Spirit, God. We can't do it apart from you. We realize that. We submit to you tonight humbly and just ask you to carry us along, to help us. Help us to be convicted of sin. Help us to make right choices. Help us to represent you well, Lord. We love you and just thank you for this night. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.